The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
More than 280 people were killed and hundreds more wounded in Gaza on June the 8th. That's according to its Ministry of Health. Most were killed during the IDF special operation to free four Israeli hostages kidnapped by Hamas on October the 7th. Dr. Ilyan Abdelmajid, the Palestinian ambassador to Ireland, joins us now. Ambassador, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What are you hearing about exactly what happened in that operation by the IDF?
What I heard is so many people were killed, brutally killed. I mean, in breach of every law and moral principle known to humankind. More than 270 people were killed, more than 700 were injured, and as well, like, you know, to release the hostages, which from the beginning that we said, I mean, we're against taking hostages, civilian hostages. I mean, but there are another three hostages were killed during this operation, operation that it doesn't at all, I mean, in any human being's thoughts would be. Would be like, you know, as something that give a justification for killing all those people. I mean, I feel with all the hostages, I feel with all these civilian hostages to be back home, but not on on the price of killing tens of Palestinian people. This is very.
The argument might be put to you that if Hamas released the hostages, attacks such as this would not happen.
I mean, listen, it's how many times they were almost to agree on exchange hostages or ceasefire. And every time from the beginning, I'm not here actually to talk about Hamas or talk how these like, you know, talks like going on a daily basis. It seems that Israel now is refusing this, rejecting this plan that came recently by President Biden. This is what yesterday's, like, you know, press conference for Gantz, like, you know, resigned from this war council, shows that there is no stop or end of this war. What exactly he said in his press conference, and actually we're reading this news from from the media. It was a live press conference saying that he resigned, and he said it's a long war. What do you think? I mean, this kind of catastrophic crisis will not end by military actions. There should be sitting on the table, negotiating. But it seems that, like, you know, between Hamas, between the mediating countries, between Israel, is like, you know, playing this ball here and there. But now what we see exactly that Israel and Netanyahu, he wanted to secure his place. He doesn't want to go to jail. He will continue to do this barbaric attack against the Palestinians. This is what every normal person on this world understands.
So is it your belief that even if Hamas were to release all the living hostages from Gaza, that it would not bring about a ceasefire?
Like, listen, I mean, they were talking for now, it's almost 8 months, we're entering the 9 months, here and there talking about negotiating on the ceasefire. Hamas released some hostages at the beginning, and I'm sure that they are willing to do so, but they need this as well to protect the Palestinian people. I mean, these people who are enduring this 8 months of slaughter, this need to be, there should be guarantee. And I think until this moment, there is no guarantee between Hamas and Israel and East. I mean, I wanted to thank Egypt and Qatar for mediating this, but this doesn't work like this, you know, throwing accusations over each other. At the end of the day, who will pay for this is the Palestinian people.
But what you seem to be suggesting is that Hamas are unwilling, without certain guarantees, to hand over hostages because those hostages are the leverage they have, and they don't want to give up that leverage.
I don't want to think on behalf of Hamas how they think, but I think about my people. I think about the Palestinians. I think about the Palestinian who no one on this world think about them. Yes, I know that the nations like around the world protesting for justice for the Palestinians, but until now the responsibility of the international community is not there. I see the Security Council that should protect the security and peace for the whole world is not is not active. Actually, it's paralyzed. This is what I'm thinking about. These like details coming here and there, what makes sense for me and what makes me like, you know, feel that I need this bloodshed to stop is my people. This is what I'm talking about. The 2.3 million Palestinians who really, really, I mean, over the past 9 months suffer from this onslaught.
If you lose 290 lives and hundreds more are injured in the course of a rescue of just four people, and there are, you know, over 100 still to be rescued by Israel, and if this is Israel's approach, that they will do everything militarily that they think is required to rescue hostages, it would mean countless more Palestinians, ordinary people, will be killed while rescues are initiated by the Israelis. So the logical thing would seem to be give up the hostages now, and this will give you a huge international swell of support for doing that in order to achieve peace.
Pat, I mean, things like that are not working. Like, you know, we are innocent people, think like that. But when it comes on the table, when it comes to Israel and Hamas, who are negotiating over the table, this doesn't work. I mean, Mr. Biden has a plan and he suggested this plan. And it seems that it was working for Hamas at the beginning. Then when Hamas received the documents, they said that it's different of what Mr. Biden or President Biden said. And they wanted at the end of any negotiating, like, you know, process to end this war. This is the main aim of Hamas. I mean, like, it's not a matter of, like, you know, releasing and not releasing. I'm with you. I mean, releasing the hostages or taking hostages is not the right way. Taking the civilian hostages is not the right way, and they should be back to their homes. But there is a war that the Palestinian people are paying for. If there is no guaranteed, I mean, this war will not end without negotiating, sitting on the table and talk. And I know that Egypt and Qatar are mediating this. I know that President Biden put this plan at the end, and it seems that at the end of this plan, there should be a ceasefire and end of this war. This is exactly what we want. Like, you know, talking here and there from the Israelis, that doesn't work at all. And what we see, as I said yesterday, the resigning of Gantz and his, like, you know, colleagues from this war government, that leads give a sign or reflect on that this war will continue. Yeah.
Well, and, as you know, Benny Gantz, and we'll be talking to the Israeli ambassador about this, he put a deadline down 3 weeks ago on Saturday that unless Netanyahu had a plan for how to get a ceasefire and then what would happen at the end of a war, who would run Gaza, how it would be administered. And obviously Benjamin Netanyahu didn't come up with such a plan, so Benny Gantz resigned, thus leaving the war cabinet with the more extreme factions probably taking control.
Listen, usually as any, from what we practice over the years, that this war from the beginning, there is counsel for this war, taking decisions, because they don't want to be like, you know, only one party to take action. This is responsibility for such a state, the Israeli state, for Gantz and his group to withdraw from this, there will be no legitimacy for this war internationally. This is how the Israelis, actually reflect on that. It's not me. So, I mean, this is what we heard yesterday, is something that goes behind the scene, that Gantz, he becomes sure that Netanyahu wanted to continue this war for his own sake and to save himself. There is an arrest warrant on war crimes has been requested by the ICC. I mean, he faces four accusations that he will be in jail the second day that this war will stop. Definitely, he will continue with this onslaught as many days, as many months as he can, to be safe himself. So we're now talking about personal interest, and he put the whole Israelis and the Palestinians into this.
The question of that deal, which you say was just about acceptable to Hamas until they saw the detail on paper. I mean, the bones of the deal were revealed to us all, that it would involve, if you like, a cessation of hostilities, an exchange of hostages, and then a continuation of that cessation pending negotiation as to what might occur. Is it the nature of the perhaps endless ceasefire that has deterred Israel?
Listen, if there is guarantee from like United States, from the Security Council, from Egypt and Qatar, who mediated this this negotiation, definitely at the end of the day, they're both like, you know, Hamas and Israel should be abide by this. But there should be like, you know, a step before over this, like, you know, Israel must stop this slaughter. And then on the table, things, I mean, from my point of view, things on the table will be then operated as it should be. But the mediation needs to take action, especially when it comes from the United States. There should be a pressure, yes.
Is there pressure on Hamas from outside Gaza to release the hostages? I mean, the deal involves the release of hostages. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure internationally on Israel, telling them that they should not be doing what they're doing in Gaza. And there's a lot of condemnation about the killing of civilians, even though the Israelis would claim that they were being used as human shields and that they were justified in doing what they did. You hear all of that. But is there any pressure from, say, within Gaza on Hamas or from the West Bank on Hamas to release the hostages and maybe prevent more slaughter?
You know, the Gazan people are dreaming every day that this onslaught to stop. I think that the
But are they pressurizing or is there any way for them to pressurize Hamas?
The pressure is that the whole situation, the catastrophic crisis, there is no food, there is no hospitals, there is nothing actually. I mean, Gaza is under siege again. There is no crossing to bring the aid in Gaza. All these are pressure. But as well, from the news, like, you know, I'm not talking on behalf of them or know exactly what's going on inside. But I know that the Egyptians and the Qatari are putting pressure over Hamas as well. But the pressure on the ground from the people, from the responsibility of these people who are enduring 8 months of unstopped suffering, this is as well should be a responsibility. Hamas in a situation that the people are suffering, there is pressure from other countries, but there should be as well a pressure on Israel, because Israel is the one who attack and who kills the Palestinians, and all, like, you know, the money that goes, the weapons that goes, it encourage Israel's continue with impunity to kill the Palestinian people. There should be a responsibility. Israel should hold accountable for this. There should be pressure that comes from the United States and the international community to stop Israel doing that.
But the pressure should also be surely on Hamas. A number of our listeners are saying
definitely.
I mean, if there were no hostages, there would be no rescues required, and therefore this kind of killing that is involved in the rescues simply wouldn't happen.
Listen, I mean, since 1967 and even before, the occupation, the oppression, the colonization, all these didn't prevent Israel from committing, war crimes against the Palestinians. I mean, Gaza endured 4 aggressions before this one, and there is not a matter of hostages or taking. Israel continue unabated with its occupation and colonization. What we see in the West Bank as well give you an insight that Israel is still and persist in its occupation and oppression of the Palestinian people. It's not a matter of taking hostages, because I'm sure that, Pat, you know that this is since 1967 until now, this occupation and colonization is the main reason of what's going on today.
And Hamas, of course, still has the ability, it would appear, to fire rockets into Israel, which are then protected by the Iron Dome. But I'm just wondering about how that provocation, Israelis would see it as provocation. And does Hamas ever say, I know we're in a bad place, but if we keep doing this, we're going to suffer the terrible consequences which Israel as a major military power can inflict upon us?
I don't know if the people who are listening now, they believe this comparison. I mean, I'm not justifying anything. I'm not justifying terror. I'm not justifying people to endure any kind of insecurity. This is something for both the Palestinian and the Israelis. But the comparison is totally unfair. It's unjust. I mean, what we see now, it's the whole world is fighting in this. The most advanced military money goes into this war, show you that there is no justice in this. There is no justice in this kind of comparison between what's going on here and there.
Ambassador Abdelmajid, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Well, now I'm joined by the Israeli ambassador to Ireland, Dan Ehrlich. Ambassador, good morning.
Good morning from Jerusalem.
You are still being held in Jerusalem by your government. You're not yet returning to us.
No, we're still in, I've been recalled for consultations. So we're still in discussions about what the steps will be and how do we envision the future of Ireland and Israeli bilateral relations.
Now, what happened in the rescue of the four hostages, again, like many of the charges leveled against Israel, it would appear to be disproportionate. The number of people killed, the number of people injured, badly wounded and so on, seems disproportionate for the rescue of four Israeli citizens.
I'll just reject that equation. It's a wrong equation to be made. And there I'll just raise some questions that it seems that the media and people forgot or are not questioning or are not raising. First of all, it's tragic to hear that any civilians were killed. The only way to make sure that civilians are not killed is not to hide behind them and release all the kidnaps, as you mentioned earlier. If you hold kidnaps in the home of a family, in the center of a heavily populated area, with terrorists who are armed and firing RPGs, the assumption of those terrorists is that civilians will get hurt. We need to mention that.
Okay, but 290 people killed and hundreds more injured in this operation.
Let me just question that number. We know that Hamas's numbers are wrong. The UN has already came out and said that the statistics are incorrect, and they admitted to that. Now, I'll just ask you this. And whenever we talk about numbers, it's always cynical because nobody should die. Nobody should be killed in this tragic war. But how is it possible that 2 minutes after an operation or an incident, that Hamas already knows the exact number of people that were killed? Because nowhere in the world, not medically, not militarily, in anywhere that we've seen a war or a catastrophe or anything, do we know the casualties so quickly as Hamas releases them. So again, I just want people who are listening now, the same critical bones that they're using on Israel, just to question what Hamas is giving. And the fact that nobody is counting the bombardment that Hamas is inflicting on its people. As you said, rockets are being fired at Israel every day from Gaza. Those rockets, not all of them reach Israel. A lot of them fall in Gaza, hurting their own population. The RPGs that the terrorists use to shoot at our soldiers, they also hurt their population. That also causes damage. Is that being calculated when people talk about those?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously things like that do happen in wars, but the basic disproportionality of what's going on is what is bothering people, whether it's the overall offensive in Gaza or whether, you know, whether it's 290 or whether it's 190 and whether it's 800 people injured or 200 people injured in such an attack to rescue four.
Nobody should die. Nobody. I mean, it's not the equation. This war shouldn't have started. And I was so sorry to hear the interview right now and not to hear any condemnation, any clear condemnation of Hamas for starting this war. The Palestinian representative and myself, I want to believe we both want to live peacefully. But when she's not condemning a genocidal terrorist organization that is also targeting her own population, not to mention that she's not condemning the sexual violence against women, men, children. Is that the viable partner that we need to negotiate with? That Hamas needs to be pressured. Hamas needs to be condemned also by the Palestinian authorities.
But isn't that unrealistic to expect a Palestinian representative, admittedly, of the government in the West Bank rather than Gaza, but to expect any representative of the Palestinian people to condemn Hamas in this moment of terrible difficulty for the people that Hamas govern in Gaza?
It's unrealistic because Hamas are also killing the Palestinian Authority, and there were different reconciliation efforts between the organizations that didn't materialize because both organizations know that they cannot live side by side. So we know that any future possible negotiation or solution will not include Hamas. Not only we say it, not only Ireland has said it, not only the international community say it, but the Palestinian Authority understands it. I understand that they're in a tougher position because they're under threat from Hamas.
Last night, and I'm sure you've seen a coverage of this in Jerusalem, but last night, I think it was on Sky News, I saw a relative of one of those still held hostage who said, we want to get our relative back, but this is crazy. If it's going to cost hundreds of lives every time we go in, by the time we get to 130 hostages rescued, the death toll will be unacceptable. That you can't keep doing this.
Will we all agree? We don't want to continue this. This is 247th days too much, too many that it's been going on. It can all stop. And again, the Palestinian representative, I guess he forgot that Hamas rejected the last ceasefire negotiation. So we were willing and we were again and again coming to the table, even though that Hamas broke the ceasefire at the beginning of December.
Yeah, but
because we didn't want this. We want it to be over. Yeah, we want our 120 kidnapped.
But Ambassador, we know about that last deal where it was revealed that an Egyptian official had changed the terms. That
was the previous one. We're talking about the recent one.
The current one that Antony Blinken is obviously pursuing and trying to persuade Israel to accept. But let's move on to the politics of all of this. Benny Gantz resigns from the war cabinet, leaving Netanyahu and some quite extreme people left in that cabinet to make decisions. Do you believe it's inevitable, therefore, that the war will continue and perhaps even accelerate?
We've said it all along that the war can quickly end, and the first step in order to advance them is to release all the kidnapped and to make sure that there are no genocidal threats from Hamas on Israel and Israelis wherever they are. Well, as a democratic step, the minister chose to withdraw from the cabinet. He joined it, part of the war, as any democratic country, and I know that Ireland has also gone through different disagreements between coalition parties and different elements, so that's another step of that. We'll see how that changes the perspectives within the cabinet, but at the end of the day, the war didn't start because of Israel, and it can end tomorrow if the 120 kidnapped are released. There are many simple steps that we can take, and pressuring Hamas by the international community, by Ireland, by the Palestinian Authority, is an important step in that.
So what do you believe is going to happen on foot of the U.S. administration pushing even harder to get Prime Minister Netanyahu, to agree to this proposal?
But again, I'll just rephrase it. They're not pushing us. We are working with the Biden administration closely on the different levels, from the president to the different working levels. We have been good allies working closely from the minute that all of this tragic war started. And we have agreed to the different suggestions and different consultations they have done in the past. We need Hamas to agree to that. And we've seen them reject one offer after the other. So right now, the pressure needs to be put on Hamas. And we see that the way that this tragic war is being portrayed in Ireland in a very one-sided way, and that needs to be discussed. We need to talk about what is going on in Gaza, what is going on to the people in Gaza because of Hamas. Aid is going in. And what the Palestinian representative said, it's not correct. There is plenty of humanitarian aid that goes in. Does Hamas make sure that it reaches the people? No. We need to make sure that those logistics bottlenecks are solved. Obviously, Hamas will not help with that, but with the help of UN agencies and other partners we are working to say that there is no aid, no hospitals in Gaza. That is incorrect. So I will ask her to learn the material better. We have plenty of material of all of the trucks that go in every day, all of the water, the fuel, the food. I'm happy to share it with everybody. It's open for the public on the COGAT website.
It seems extraordinary, though, that aid, which you say is there, available in abundance, is not getting delivered. But the routes of delivery are basically through a war zone. And
all of it is a war zone. But what can we do? We are trying to make sure that aid goes in through land, through sea, and through air. No, but, and we are working daily in order to make sure that that aid is scaled up. And what you hear from different UN organizations is a very partial image. We have the overall perspective at what goes in. We have daily meetings with our allies and with UN organizations. What UNRWA is publishing is partial information because they only count the aid that they are responsible for. They don't count all of the aid. But in a sense, if you look at Lebanon and what is going on in the Northern Front, is the same story. It's a very one-sided story being told, not looking at the whole picture. If we look at Lebanon, for 247 days, we've been bombarded the northern Israel by Hezbollah. Nobody is talking about it. Nobody is condemning it publicly in Ireland. The same people who call for stability and peace are not telling Hezbollah to stop. And they're endangering not only us, the Israeli civilians, but they're putting at risk the people at Lebanon and UNIFIL soldiers. But when I look at that story being portrayed in Ireland, it's almost non-existent.
Now you appear to be denying that there is a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And it's not just
that there are people responsible for it. If there is a humanitarian crisis, what we see is that there are challenges in the distribution of the aid. Those challenges are partially because Hamas is raiding trucks, because civilians are raiding trucks and stealing the aid, and part of it is because we need the UN to scale up their efforts. We know that UNRWA can't handle the amount of aid hitting. But are there organizations?
But does anyone feel safe under the Israeli attacks? I mean, we can hark back to the attack on the United Nations school, where hundreds, if not thousands, of people were sheltering. And
where Hamas was hiding and where Hamas was firing from. Can anybody in Gaza feel safe under Hamas's regime? Because they're not only targeting us. When we say that they're using their populations as human shields, we've seen it on Saturday. They embed themselves within those heavily populated areas.
But it does appear, whatever the justification, and you've quoted before international law, to me, as why you can attack a school, because Hamas may have a few of their militants within and using people as human shields. There may be some rationale in international law which you offer, but it seems an incredibly cruel way to wage a war.
Again, all of this war is tragic, genocidal, cynical playbook by Hamas. They're not just targeting us. They don't care about the lives of their civilians. And if the people in Ireland want to help Palestinians, it's not just about being critical against Israel. It's about condemning Hamas on every step that they're doing to their own population. And this is what I ask the people of Ireland to do. Obviously, I can't expect that from the Palestinian representatives because her people are also under the threat of Hamas. But as part of the international community, the people of Ireland need to raise their voices against Hamas. All of this is a cynical playbook of a terrorist regime that doesn't want to live in coexistence and stability. They want to eliminate all of Israel, all of the Jewish people, and they will not stop, as they will say that they will do it repeatedly. We understand that those threats need to be taken very seriously. But we also understand that those threats also jeopardize their own population. In order to help their population, there needs to be an overall condemnation.
All right. Ambassador Dan Ehrlich, Ambassador of Israel to Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.